This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So as you start Ramadan and you're reading through the entire Qur'an, you're finding your way back to Jannah bi'idhnillahi ta'ala throughout this month, inshallah, because this whole Qur'an is a roadmap to get back to Jannah.
Make no mistake, brothers and sisters, Allah hears your dua. Allah knows what is in your heart. The struggle, this may be your first Ramadan. This may be your last Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. He knows what is in your heart, and He knows when you call on Him.
As we see other people anticipating this month of Ramadan, they condition themselves in Sha'ban. Today, I'm tired. I'm not feeling so good. I see other people eagerly awaiting for Tarawih, and I don't have that same feeling. Is my heart hard? What's really going on?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear brothers and sisters. Ramadan Mubarak, and welcome back to Quran 30 for 30, season 5, walhamdulillah. We are in person this year. It is going to be a very special Quran 30 for 30, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Before we get started, inshallah ta'ala, I hope you've seen the first episode of the Qadr series, of the Why Me series, and I hope you've seen that yaqeen has risen to the challenge every single time, and that our resources have only gotten better. And that has been by your investment after the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so before you do anything else, inshallah ta'ala, I want you to click that link to donate to Yaqeen. Automate your donations for the 30 days if you will. But whatever it is that you gave last year, inshallah ta'ala, or years prior, or if you're a first-time donor, at least match, inshallah ta'ala, what you did last year and do more bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. We're only going to grow our resources, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. We're only going to grow in quality and quantity, and we need your support, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So please, with all the noble causes that are out there, especially for our brothers and sisters in Gaza right now, and all the noble institutions, we ask, inshallah ta'ala, that you also consider Yaqeen a part of your investment, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Also, you can download the ebook that has been put together by Sheikh Ismail Kamdar for all of the four seasons of Quran 30 for 30. You can read summaries of the juz before you come to each session, and you can truly make this a Qur'an learning experience. We want you to listen every single night, inshallah ta'ala, tune in every night now, and reflect as a family, reflect with your community. Share the link to Qur'an 30 for 30. Share the link to the Why Me series. You never know whose life you might touch, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, with that. So participate in every way. And this year we're also doing something a little bit different. We're doing trivia, inshallah ta'ala, Qur'anic trivia. So we're gonna ask a question every day from the previous juz, and ask you to participate in the comments below bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. So the first question, since we're on juz 1, who was the companion that famously recited Surah Al-Fatiha on a non-Muslim chief by the permission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a form of cure? Who was the Sahabi that recited Surah Al-Fatiha on a non-Muslim chief as a form of cure in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So go ahead and answer below, inshallah ta'ala. And of course, we're here with Sheikh Abdullah Duru, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. He's still, mashallah, ready to go with Qur'an, not so much on ping pong. His ping pong skills have sadly not increased at all.
It's hard to start the year off. Mashallah, may Allah bless you.
Alhamdulillah, man. It's a blessing to be with you, blessing as always. Alhamdulillah. I mean, an absolute blessing, alhamdulillah. Looking forward to the reflections, inshallah, ta'ala,
alhamdulillah.
Together. And Sheikh Tahir Wyatt, Sheikh Tahir, kif haq, Sheikh?
Hayakallah, Sheikh.
Dr. Tahir Wyatt, the Fresh Prince of Philly, alhamdulillah. It just wouldn't be right to start the series without you, man.
You know, subhanAllah, when I was listening to you say fifth season, I'm start counting on my fingers. I'm saying, subhanAllah, it literally is season 5. I can remember season 1, you know, when COVID hit, being in the basement, right?
Yeah.
Because
that's
where I could get the best internet reception.
Yeah.
Wow. Being in the basement to record 30 for 30, you know, or go live with 30 for 30, and now this didn't exist. Like, mashallah, your team didn't have a headquarters as it has now, subhanAllah. So to see the growth is truly amazing, man.
Alhamdulillah.
Truly a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Sheikh, we went viral for the Fresh Prince thing. Was that first season 1 or season 2?
No, that was, I don't know, it wasn't season 1.
Were you in the basement?
No, I wasn't in the basement. That's how I know it wasn't season 1.
Must have been season 2. You know, and mashallah, Charlie Mack went to Umrah with us.
Amazing, right? Mashallah.
No. So the brother that spun Will Smith in the opening of Fresh Prince, maybe we could put it up on the screen, inshallah ta'ala, you know. We met him in Umrah. Alhamdulillah, he didn't spin anyone in Ihram. That would have been bad. You know,
oh, yeah, in Ihram, that would be real bad.
I don't know. I don't know if he could spin Sheikh Abdullah. You think he could pick up Charlie if you're watching this? We have a challenge for you, Sheikh. Can you pick up Sheikh Abdullah Durrell and spin him? So maybe season six, we'll start off with Charlie Mack.
You know, that's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea.
That'll be the intro for season six. But in any case, Sheikh, we're excited to have you, alhamdulillah. Your brothers and sisters, every night is, inshallah ta'ala, in person. So it's a different vibe this year, alhamdulillah. And on top of that, every single episode will be 30 minutes, inshallah. So it's predictable. So inshallah ta'ala, you can allot 30 minutes with your family every single night. With that, bidhnillahi ta'ala, we'll go ahead and get started, inshallah ta'ala, with juz 1. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulina wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. SubhanAllah, if you watched the first episode of Why Me, there is an incident there where Adam alayhi salam is walking around his children, walking through his descendants and looking through his descendants and seeing the light that they have. And I think that what we fail to appreciate is that Al-Baqarah starts off with the story of Adam because Adam's story is our story. We also fail to appreciate at times the deep connection between Qadr and Jannah. You know, when you think about the articles of faith, belief in the Day of Judgment, belief in the hereafter, that comes before belief in Al-Qada' wal-Qadr, in divine decree and predestination, because nothing makes sense without paradise. Nothing makes sense without a hereafter. There is no way to make sense of it without a hereafter. And so when you read about the first story of man leaving paradise after his creation, and the entire story in the Qur'an that then unfolds is Adam alayhi salam trying to get back to Jannah, and by extension, all of the children of Adam alayhi salam trying to get back to Jannah, there's something deeply profound about that. And here's what I want you to remember. SubhanAllah, we come into just a few pages of Al-Baqarah, and Allah is speaking to Adam alayhi salam as he is leaving Jannah, and Adam alayhi salam is calling back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance. In the last juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the words that are said to the believer as they are leaving this world, hopefully coming back to paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them. So if you can remember this in juz 30, inshallah, when we get back to it, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you and reward you. But قُلْ نَهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. So it starts off in verse 38. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we said, descend all of you. فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدَى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. So when my guidance comes to you from me, whoever follows that guidance, there will be no fear upon them, nor shall they grieve. Basically, it is هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This Qur'an is a guidance to the God conscious. You have your roadmap, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide us to the straight path, O Allah. Allah is giving you the way back to Him. The way back to Allah is the way back to Jannah. So as you start Ramadan and you're reading through the entire Qur'an, you're finding your way back to Jannah bi-idhnillahi ta'ala throughout this month, inshallah, because this whole Qur'an is a road map to get back to Jannah. But what I want to, inshallah ta'ala, share is my reflection for today. It's really beautiful when you go to فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ, that Adam a.s. was inspired with some words of repentance that Allah received from him. فَتَابَ عَلِيْهِ, and Allah Azza wa Jal forgave him. Now, the primary words are, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. O our Lord, we wronged ourselves. If you don't forgive us and have mercy upon us, we will surely be from the losers. And Allah says who the losers are, by the way. الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوَ الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَى. Those who purchase misguidance with guidance. But those who succeed are the ones who call upon Allah in repentance. Two narrations I'll share, inshallah ta'ala, very quickly. The first one from Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. He says in this conversation between Adam alayhi salam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah azza wa jal caused him to descend from paradise after he committed his sin, قال آدم يا رب ألم تخلقني بيدك. O my Lord, didn't you create me with your hand? قيل له بلى. Yes. وَنَفَخْتَ فِيَّ مِنْ رُوحِكَ, and you breathed in me from your spirit. Yes, O Adam. وَعَطَسْتُ فَقُلْتَ يَرْحَمُكَ اللَّهُ, and I sneezed, and you said, may Allah have mercy on you. Yes, O Adam. وَسَبَقَتْ رَحْمَتُكَ غَضَبَكَ, and your mercy has surpassed your wrath. Yes, O Adam. بَلَى يَا آدَم. وَكَتَبْتَ عَلَيَّ أَنْ أَعْمَلَ هَذَا, and you wrote upon me that I would commit this deed. Meaning what? It was part of my decree that I would commit this deed. I'm not blaming Allah for the sin, but it was part of the divine scheme that that sin would be allowed to occur, that I would commit that sin. قِيلَ لَهُ بَلَى. Yes, O Adam. قَالَ أَرَأَيْتَ إِن تُبْتُ هَلْ أَنْتَ رَاجِعِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Listen very carefully and remember this, inshallah, in just 30. Oh Allah, if I repent, will you return me to Jannah? قِيلَ لَهُ بَلَى Yes, O Adam, you will return to Jannah. And so when we think about what it means to return to Allah, a return to Allah is a return to His favor, a return to His mercy, a return to His forgiveness, and it is a return to Jannah. And Allah is assuring Adam alayhi salam that though this deed of yours was written down, here is the writing on how you get back to Jannah. And it's clear for all of us, guidance has been made distinct from error. All we have to do is now follow that path back. And this is when you open the Mus'haf and you start your journey back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Adam alayhi salam started his return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the 960 years that he was on this earth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to return to Jannah, to our original home, return home to our abode, to be with our father Adam alayhi salam and with our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma ameen. Inshallah ta'ala. With that, I turn it over to our beloved Shaykh Abdullah.
Jazakum Allah khair. Hayyakum Allah. Bayyakum. Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Amma ba'd. First, I want to say congratulations to all of you to reaching this month of Ramadan. I'll never forget that I was in Al-Medina one year, my second year as a student, and I was in the first row with a friend of mine in the Masjid al-Haram in Medina. And when they made the takbir and they started to recite, we went through Salat al-Tarawih, and at the very end, they made the dua. And the brother that was with me, mashallah, was from America, and he was just crying profusely. And I was trying to cry, but him crying profusely. At the end of the salah, we're walking back to our bus as students to go back to our dorm, and he just kept saying, Alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us to reach this month of Ramadan. And he just kept talking about the fact that Allah has allowed us to reach the month of Ramadan, and He has given us guidance to come here and study in the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to be of those that study this religion. All of us now, it's an opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us here. It's a blessing and an opportunity to stick with it and to always seek guidance, as was mentioned before. The verse that I want to cover is in chapter number 2, verse 137, particularly speaking about those that voluntarily choose guidance and those that do not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, after أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا وَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, and if they were to come to believe as you believe, they are on guidance. And if they turn away, then quite obviously they have been merely fallen into opposition to the truth. Allah will suffice for you the protection against them. And Allah is the all-hearing, the all-knowing. Break this up into three parts quickly. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if they were to believe as you believe, then they would truly be guided. Belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that you are here and you've reached this month of Ramadan is that firm belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the belief that the system that He gave you to fast sun up to sundown from that which we need is a necessity means that there is something greater, there's something transcendent, there's something beyond you, there is something holy that you trust in. Congratulations. The fact that you are trying your best is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. So if those people, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that disbelieved in you, the mushrikun, the one that didn't want good for you, the polytheist that did not want good for you, from your own family, if they don't believe as you believed, O companions, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would be guided. If they would believe as you believed, shows the importance of when we ask Allah, Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, as was mentioned, that we recite in the opening chapter of the Quran, guide us to the straight path, because we know the importance of guidance. Realizing that we as Muslims, it's from our integrity of our faith to believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to try our best to act upon it as all of us are doing in this blessed day of Ramadan, the beginning of Ramadan. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to say, وَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا هُمْ فِي شِقَاقٍ And if they were to be, turn away, تَوَلَّوْا, for verily they would quite obviously fall into opposition. This is important in regards to our integrity as Muslims. We understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and He has no partners. And to have integrity in that. When you're at your workplace, when you're at school, and they see that you're fasting, they're automatically may ask, what's wrong with you? But when you tell them the reason why, it's something that is beyond the tangible world. For them to understand that, this shows that you have a level of importance in something beyond you, which brings forth integrity. Don't ever be afraid to say who you are and what you represent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues on to say, فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهِ. And this is so important. Because of that belief that you have, because of that belief that people may deny or may not know about, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَسَيَكْفِيكَهُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah is sufficient for you. We see the manifestation of that today in Palestine. The manifestation of them saying, Hasbi Allah. What does that mean? Allah is enough for me. Allah is enough for me. Allah is enough for me. Wa ni'ma al-wakil. And He is the ultimate one that I trust in. We trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it's the middle of the day and we're fasting. We have to remember that there's something greater than me leaving off eating and drinking. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ فِي أَنْ يَدَعْ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever doesn't leave off ill speech and acting upon it, for verily Allah is not in need of his abandonment of eating and drinking. Make no mistake, brothers and sisters, Allah hears your dua. Allah knows what is in your heart. The struggle, this may be your first Ramadan. This may be your last Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. He knows what is in your heart, and He knows when you call on Him alone. Make that effort this month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this month of Ramadan our best one ever, mm-hmm. and allow us to be those that recognize guidance and follow it to the best of our ability. Sheikh Tahir, barakallahu fiqh.
Ameen. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi man wala ma ba'd. I want to just, subhanallah, a small tweak. When Sheikh Abdullah mentioned that we fast from sunup to sundown, I remember hearing that as a new Muslim, and it actually, I was fasting in the beginning from sunup to sundown and not from Fajr until until sundown. So I just want to tweak that a bit, because it's easy. It comes off the tongue very easy, and that's the Muslims really understand that concept, but for new Muslims, they may not, or for non-Muslims, they may not. And so I think it's just important to point that out, as well as and moving into the topic, what are we fasting for in the first place? You know, ultimately, our ultimate goal through this fast is to attain taqwa, to attain piety and God-fearing righteousness, being more conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more cognizant of Him in our lives, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why it is so important for us at this very beginning day of Ramadan to begin to look internal, to look at our hearts. Because taqwa is found initially, its roots are in the heart. The heart is the seat of taqwa. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "At-taqwa ha-huna, at-taqwa ha-huna," three times. Taqwa is here, it's in the heart. And we all know from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as well that the heart is the king of the limbs. If it is sound and it is upright, then the rest of the body will follow. But some of us, subhanAllah, may be wondering about our own hearts. We may feel distanced from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe, you know, our last engagement with the Quran was months ago, or maybe even last Ramadan. And so we begin to wonder, as we see other people anticipating this month of Ramadan, they condition themselves in Sha'ban. Today, I'm tired. I'm not feeling so good. I see other people eagerly awaiting for Tarawih, and I don't have that same feeling. Is my heart hard? What's really going on? So these are questions that a real believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have. And Allah azza wa jal addressed this phenomenon in a very important ayah, the 74th ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah, immediately after the story about which the surah is named. So when Musa, and we need a little bit of context to understand the ayah, when Musa told his people, alayhi salam, told his people, inna Allah ya'murukum an tadhbahu baqara. Allah commands you to slaughter a cow. They say, you taking us for a joke? Is this some kind of, you're ridiculing us or what? What's the deal? And so Musa alayhi salam was responding to Bani Israel, who came to him after a man had been murdered, and they began blaming themselves because they didn't know who exactly did it. And so they came to Musa for advice. What should we do? And Musa says, alayhi salam, that Allah commands you to slaughter a cow. Fast forward, they were very reluctant. They wanted to evade doing what Allah azza wa jal had commanded them to do. So they started asking all of these questions. What kind of cow? What's the color of the cow? Give us some more clarity. We don't know what to slaughter. And then eventually they did. And then they took a piece of that cow as they were commanded. They struck the corpse with that. The corpse came back to life and informed them
of who had murdered them. Now, they didn't understand the hikmah, but you're supposed to do what Allah Azza wa Jalla commands you to do, whether you understand the hikmah or not, because you know that He is Al-Hakim, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is the most wise. Allah Azza wa Jalla then says, كَذَلِكَ يُحْيِي اللَّهُ الْمَوْتَى وَيُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِ. This is how Allah Azza wa Jalla brings life back to the dead. You have some doubts about resurrection. If you go starting from ayah 40 in Surah Al-Baqarah all the way up to there, to the ayat that we're dealing with, 74, Allah Azza wa Jalla is addressing Bani Israel, and they had some false beliefs as it relates to the hereafter and some doubts. So Allah says, this is how we bring life back to the dead. وَيُرِيكُمْ آيَاتِ. And He shows you His signs. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةِ. Then your hearts were hardened after that, even after seeing all of those signs. Even after all of that, the heart is still hard. You're still rejecting, stubbornly rejecting the truth. فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ. Those hearts are like rocks. أَوْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةِ. And the scholars of tafsir, many of them say, بَلْ أَشَدُّ قَسْوَةِ. Even harder than rocks. Why? وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارُ. Because from rocks, there are those that split and streams gush forth from those rocks. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَشَّقَّقْ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَاءِ. And from them there are those that open up and water flows through. It doesn't gush out, but it flows through. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا لَمَا يَهْبِطُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. And from those rocks, there are those that fall down in awe of Allah. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah is not unaware of what you do. Brothers and sisters in Islam, subhanAllah, Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us in this ayah implicitly that even if your heart was like a rock, there's still hope. Even if you feel like you're distanced and your heart is hard, there's still hope. And the best thing to soften that heart is what you're doing right now. You've tuned in right now because you want to get a closer connection to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You want to understand it better. It is this Quran that made the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam better in the month of Ramadan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was the best, became better in the month of Ramadan. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, who was a young boy, he describes the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as being the most generous of all people. But he says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was even more generous in Ramadan. What's the reason? Because Jibreel would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam every night in the month of Ramadan for yudarisuhu al-Qur'an. They would study the Qur'an. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would read to Jibreel the Qur'an. So this is the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was even more generous in the month of Ramadan. Wallahi, if your heart is not just like a rock, but like a mountain, if it's like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is letting us know that the Qur'an will melt that hardness away. لَوْ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلْ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. If this Qur'an was revealed to a mountain, you would see it humbled, shattering in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is in this month, inshallah ta'ala, and I'm saying don't just allow the idea of the Qur'an to remain an idea. Make a plan, not just an idea. Have a time that you set aside on a daily, that you reconnect with the Qur'an, or that you establish a deeper connection with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that time is fixed. No matter what demands are in your life, you are going to give that time to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we conclude with the dua that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make and that we should memorize, and that he taught Zayd ibn Arqam radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Allahumma ati nafsi taqwaha. Oh Allah, give my nafs its taqwa. Give my soul its taqwa. This is what we want in Ramadan. Wa zakkiha. Anta khayru man zakkaha, and purify it. You are the best purifier of that soul. In fact, you are the only purifier. Anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. You are its caretaker and you are its protector and guardian. Wallahu a'lam.
Allahu barak fik, Sheikh Tahir. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, reward you, increase you, and make you and all of us from the people of Quran. Allahumma ameen.
Ameen, ameen.
SubhanAllah, one thing that really stood out to me from what both of you said, in the case of what Sheikh Abdullah reflected on, mm-hmm. Allah is the only one who can protect you against them. No. And what Sheikh Tahir was talking about, Allah is the only one who can guide you back to Him. Adam alayhi salam, when he leaves paradise, he doesn't try to find an intercessor. He doesn't go try to talk to Jibreel alayhi salam or find someone to go, you know, make a connection for him back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He completely owns the mistake and then comes back to Allah. And I remember subhanAllah Ibn Jawzi rahimahullah saying something to the effect that Adam alayhi salam would never take a day for Jannah, in Jannah, for granted again, right? That he is elevated in his rank. And can you imagine the state of the heart of Adam alayhi salam as he comes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after all of this and realizes there's no shelter, no refuge from you except back to you. And I want to share this beautiful dua, inshallah, and perhaps we'll put it in the comments. Mujahid rahimahullah says that of the words that Adam alayhi salam said to his Lord, he said, Allahumma la ilaha illa anta subhanaka wa bihamdik. O my Lord, there is no God but you. All glory is due to you and all praise is due to you. Rabbi inni zalamtu nafsi faghfir li innaka khayrul ghafirin. My Lord, I have wronged myself, so forgive me. You are the best of all of those who forgive. Allahumma la ilaha illa anta subhanaka wa bihamdik. Rabbi inni zalamtu nafsi farhamni. Innaka khayrul rahimin. O my Lord, you are the best of those who show mercy, so show mercy to me, right? So you're not just the best of those who forgive, you're the best of those who show mercy. So I'm coming back to you for your forgiveness. I'm coming back to you for your mercy. Allahumma la ilaha illa anta subhanak. O Allah, there is no God but you. Or rather, Allahumma la ilaha illa anta subhanaka wa bihamdik. Rabbi inni zalamtu nafsi fatub alayya innaka anta tawwab rahim. My Lord, you are the one who accepts repentance, so accept my repentance. You are the best of those who accept repentance. And it actually goes to the end of the surah. وَعْفُ عَنَّا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Where you're going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Him for His forgiveness, asking Him for His mercy, asking Him to pardon you, because you know that it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can bring you back to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those that return to Him. Amen. Last word, Sheikh Abdullah.
Last word, alhamdulillah. No, mashallah, I like how you mentioned in the dua, you know, you're the best of this and the best of that. When we look at any name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the best of it. And that's why I think it's important to, in this month, as a catalyst and not something seasonal, you know, to look at these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and just to ponder over them, what it means, the action, its manifestation in your life, and how can you have ta'assi? How can you act on that yourself? Allah is ar-Rahman. He is the best of those that have mercy. How can I show mercy to my children, my family, my husband and wife, my mother and father? And the second point is what Sheikh Tahir mentioned. He made the analogy to transition over how our hearts may be hard as rocks, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, if it was revealed on a jabal, on a mountain, which is much greater than a rock, imagine what it does to our hearts, which he's mentioned earlier, Jazallah Khair. Some of us may say, man, my heart's too hard. Allah may not forgive me. You know, I don't know if I can enter into this month. I don't know if I have what it takes. You have what it takes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you in this beautiful month and make you strong.
I mean, alhamdulillah, just a reminder as we close out that that Ramadan is also the month of dua. And it's not a mistake that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, that when my servants ask you about me, that I'm close. It's not a mistake that that's mentioned immediately after the only ayah in the Quran that mentions Ramadan explicitly, Surah Al-Baqarah. And so us calling upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month is very important. The du'as that have already been mentioned. And I just want to, you know, subhanAllah, elaborate on something as a closure to this. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is asking Allah to purify him, that he is the only one to purify, he is the caretaker of that soul, and he is its guardian, there's a conclusion to that du'a that a lot of people don't realize is the same dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa'. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from knowledge that does not benefit. Because the consumption of knowledge that is unbeneficial, it taints the soul. Wa min qalbin la yakhsha', and from a heart that is not reverent. And this is what we're talking about right now, this heart that we want to be soft in the month of Ramadan. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, wa min nafsin la tashba', and from a soul that is never content. I mean, imagine that person just keeps eating and eating. They never feel full. They're never satisfied. Similarly, subhanAllah, the soul has to have a limit of what it takes in from the dunya. Otherwise, it's just going to keep, and it's not going to be attached to the hereafter. وَمِن دُعَاءٍ لَا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ, and from a dua that is not accepted. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us from amongst those whom always their dua is accepted by Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who call upon Him night and day. Hadha wallahu a'lam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.
Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh Tahir. Jazakumullah khair, Sheikh Abdullah. Beautiful reflections to start off. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll see you all tomorrow night. Please do, inshallah, donate, download the book, and tune in, inshallah ta'ala, every day. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.